Well, good morning. Glad you're here. We are continuing in a series of sermons called New Beginnings. And that's because we're all experiencing a new beginning with a new year, 2025. Already been a little different than 2024. You know, we got about an inch and a half of snow and we've been shut down for a week. So, you know, that's progress. But we all, as we experience a new year, have this desire to start it well, right? And to finish it well. But we also are in a new beginning as a church, as brothers and sisters in Christ here at First Presbyterian. In a few weeks, Blake Daniel will be doing the sermons for us for most Sundays, and Amy and I are really, really excited about that. As are a lot of you, because we read our emails, yeah. But as we welcome a new leader, a new senior pastor, that's a new beginning for us as a church. And they're prescriptions for how we do new beginnings in Scripture. And this morning, we're going to look at a prescription for new beginnings and how to do those individually and collectively as the body of Christ in this place, as God talks to King Solomon as the temple has been completed. And God speaks to Solomon and says, this can go well or this can not go well. Here's the key. And the key is focus. Focus. Driving in this morning with the fog, it made me think of a past life. Before I went to seminary, I was a pilot. And on days like today, focus is highlighted in the lives of pilots as they attempt to land airplanes. It's important whether it's clear as a bell or whether it's really, really foggy that you have focus in that profession. And it's drilled into your psyche as a student pilot and as you're training. So the next time you get on an airplane, thank in a prayer God for the flight instructors who drilled into those pilots who are flying your airplane the importance of focus. Because you see, on a day like today, you're landing an airplane and you can't see the ground. You can't see where you're flying to. You're relying on your instruments. And you've got to trust them, and you've got to focus on them. And in the cockpit, there's one pilot who's flying, and they're doing a scan of their instruments to make sure they're on the course, that the radio beacons are leading them to. And there's another pilot, as they get closer to the ground, who's looking out the window, because they want to find the runway lights and the runway to say, got it. We got it. We're there. And that focus is vitally important. And Solomon learns a lesson from God as the temple is completed on focus. So this morning, we're going to turn our attention to 1 Kings chapter 9, and I'm going to start reading at verse 1. Before I do, would you join me as we pray? Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful that you speak to us through your Holy Spirit and allow us to better understand how you intend life to be lived as one who belongs to you. Father, my prayer is that you would give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts that are fertile ground for your word to take deep root in us. And my prayer is that in these next few moments, the loudest voice in this room might be the voice of your Holy Spirit speaking to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 9, beginning at verse 1, we find these words. When Solomon had finished building the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, and he achieved all he had desired to do, the Lord appeared to him a second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. The Lord said to him, I have heard the prayer and plea you have made before me. I have consecrated this temple which you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me faithfully with integrity of heart and uprightness, as David your father did, and do all I command and observe my decrees and laws, I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever, as I promised David your father when I said, you shall never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. But if you or your descendants turn away from me and do not observe the commands and decrees that I have given you and go off to serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land I have given them and will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. Israel will then become a byword and an object of ridicule among all peoples. This temple will become a heap of rubble. All who pass by will be appalled and will scoff and say, why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple? The people will answer, because they have forsaken the Lord their God, who brought their ancestors out of Egypt and have embraced other gods, worshiping and serving them. That is why the Lord brought all this disaster on them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Solomon accomplished what he desired. In fact, he accomplished what his father David had desired and what Saul, David's predecessor as king, had desired. It was a worthy goal, a worthy ambition, and a good thing. A temple, a magnificent temple. It had been Solomon's focus. And as God says, I'm going to consecrate this thing that you have accomplished, and I'm going to put my name on it, listen to me, he said. It's important that you remain faithful, and that you, in a way, remain focused on me. You remain focused on me. Now, why is that so important? Well, John Calvin said it this way. He said, the human heart is a perpetual factory of idols. Now, Calvin said that a long time ago. But apparently things have not changed much with human beings. I know I'm a perpetual idol factory. How about you? And I have trouble sometimes focusing because I realize that I'm focused on a lot of things, all that I've put a lot of importance on, because I have given them a stature in my life and in my mind and in my heart. And I've broken one of God's Ten Commandments. You'll have no other gods before me, because that's what an idol is. It's another god. It's something that takes God's place in your heart and in your mind and in your life. Now, some of those things that I make into idols in my life, and maybe you make as idols in yours, are really good things at the very essence of what they are. The temple was a really good thing in Solomon's day. But it could easily become an idol for not only Solomon, but for the people of Israel, couldn't it? We do it with our resources here. I mean, I could easily go, you know, I just don't know if I want to come to worship if Jamie and Cherie aren't going to sing. Because they are just so good. And when they sing, I'm caught up in worship and I feel the presence of God. And that's worship to me. I'm making them an icon. Sorry, guys. It might be that I have this deep attachment to the things that we use as resources in ministry. The sanctuary, just down the block, was built in the early 70s. And I still have conversations with people who grew up in this church who want to talk about the sanctuary that used to sit there. And they tear up talking about that sanctuary because that's where they remember as a child worshiping God. Some of them say, I was married in that sanctuary. And I miss it. And I just wish we had kept it. Now, the floor was bowing because the structures below it were failing. So it would have collapsed. And they know that. But it's something they still long for and it's something they focus on. And we do that with so many things associated with our faith, don't we? Amy led us in the Apostles' Creed. The one that we said is a little different than the one I learned, and maybe you did too. And I still have people occasionally going, I don't like the fact that we changed the Apostles' Creed. We're not saying the Apostles' Creed. Yeah, we are, but okay, I understand. I understand. I catch myself saying the old version too. But the focus of our faith is not a sanctuary that was torn down in 1970 or a version of the Apostles' Creed that we learned as a child that we say a different version, but we say the same thing. The essence of our faith is not wrapped up in Solomon's temple or in our own things we attach our emotion to and our desire to, but it's attached to the one who has died for us and rose again and sits at the right hand of the Father and will come again to claim us. You see, the focus of our faith is in Jesus Christ. And for us as individuals going into a new year, we will be a byword in terms of our Christian impact on our world if Jesus isn't the thing that is at the center of our faith, the thing that occupies our hearts and our minds and our behaviors. And as a church, if we begin to make our life together about things, about ritual, about the trappings of our services, or the way we've always done things, we'll be no better than Solomon's temple in ruin, a pile of rubble. And as we go into a new beginning, as brothers and sisters in Jesus together, we go into a new day. a part of our life together for nearly 50 years has been the fellowship hall. We've had confirmation banquets in there. We've had men's Bible studies in there on Tuesday morning. We've had some wedding receptions in there. We've had funeral receptions. That room has held a lot of events that have touched people deeply. But that room looks exactly like it did when I first walked into it as a kid 50 years ago. Exactly. Little new paint, but that's what it looks like. And after faithfully praying and talking and discerning, we're going to renovate that 50-year-old room. And it doesn't minimize or take away all the things that have happened in that room over 50-some years. But it positions us to take Jesus to new generations and new people within our walls and outside our walls. Now, I have not heard anybody say that the fellowship hall is something that's just going to ruin their faith if we change it. I'll admit that. You've been in there, most of you, right? It's time. It's time. But we do it not just with buildings and things, we do it with people. For 3 years, we've been praying and discerning with the PNC and waiting for God to call the next senior pastor for this church. And as fervently as you have prayed for and desired Blake to come, Amy and I, that train was way out ahead of y'all. Way out ahead of y'all. And in just a few weeks, Blake will assume that mantle. But you know one of the worst things we can do to Blake? We can make him our newest idol. And I've gotten to spend a little bit of time with him, not a whole lot. But I think I can pretty confidently say that's not what Blake wants. He does not want to be your new idol. He is going to do a phenomenal job caring for us and teaching us and leading us. But he'll fail miserably if we make him our idol. Because here's the thing about idols. God doesn't stand for them long. That's why God said to Solomon, that temple that you built, as grand and splendid as it is, you lose focus on me and you allow the people to lose focus on me, the object of your faith, they'll be a byword and it'll be rubble. Focus. We focus on the most important thing. For the pilots landing in Greensboro and Charlotte and Raleigh and apparently a lot of the East Coast this morning, their focus is on instruments that they trust because it will lead them to the proper runway at the proper airport at the proper time. And as a pilot, that's what you really want. Planes are designed to fly. You give a parked plane enough wind, it's going to lift off the ground. They're designed to fly. Here's the thing. I might be spoiling the magic for you, but they're not made to land easily. They'll fly, but they're not made to come down in a controlled fashion. It takes the focus of a pilot to do that well. We're made to bring glory and honor to God with everything we do. But, as John Calvin said, we possess hearts that are perpetual idol factories. The question is, as we begin a new year, as we begin a new beginning in the life of our church together, are we willing to commit and say, I'll focus with all of us, with Blake, with our session, with the person sitting next to you, with the people in your Sunday school class or your small group or the people that teach your children. I'm willing to focus on the most important thing, the person of Jesus. As we do another new beginning together, may we focus our vision on the one who loves us more than we will ever know and wants us to feel his good pleasure. And when we focus and put our trust in him, we will find the right place at the right time, and we will be the people of the living God, sons and daughters of Jesus, our King and our Savior. May that be our new beginning together. Father, we're grateful. We're grateful for the fact that you tell us the important things in your word. We're grateful that you call us to be yours in Christ Jesus, and in him we find our vision and our focus. Father, by your Spirit, walk with us and be at work with us that we might be people who focus intensely on Jesus as Lord. And Father, in your grace and your tenderness, obliterate the icons in our lives so that we might let them go and embrace fully the person of Jesus who will lead us into your best new beginning for us. It's in his name we pray. Amen.